And now, our speaker of the hour, Brother Ernest Laws.
Before one can fall from the grace of God and be lost, he must have been saved by God's grace. And without God's grace, no man can be saved. This is emphasized throughout the New Testament. But when a person obeys the gospel of Christ, the climax of which is baptism into Christ, God adds him to his church, and he becomes, of course, a Christian, a member of the body of Christ. Then the question is, can he fall from grace? My friends, did you know that a child of God, one who has been saved by the blood of Christ, may fall away and be eternally lost in hell? There are more than 2,500 warnings in the Bible concerning man's falling away. This fact is very clearly taught throughout the Bible. It should challenge our thinking and induce more faithful obedience to God's holy commandments. Paul the Apostle wrote to the early Christians, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again unto every man that is circumcised, that he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law," talking about the law of Moses, "ye are fallen from grace." Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Let's think for a few minutes. If it is impossible for a child of God to be lost, then the devil is very foolish, isn't he? For some 6,000 years, the devil has been trying to get one or more of God's children and send his soul to hell. But he has never gotten one yet, according to the theory of unconditional salvation. The devil isn't wise enough to know it is impossible for him to cause a child of God to be lost, and so he just keeps on trying, although he can't get him anyway. Now that'd be foolish of him, wouldn't it? My friends, do not be deceived. The devil is very successful in sending teeming millions to hell, including some of God's own children. Almighty God has solemnly warned that if his people forsake him, then he will forsake him. He will forsake man. If man does not forsake God, then God will never forsake man. This is the word of God. Listen closely. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth the hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts." Now note carefully. "If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. God warns again in 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." My friends, nothing could be plainer than that. That a child of God can fall from grace. The great Apostle Paul warned God's people of the danger of falling when he stated, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. As the Apostle considered his own personal responsibility, he wrote, "But I keep under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Paul realized there could be a possibility of being lost himself, although he was a faithful apostle of Christ. In his letter to the Hebrews, the apostle warned God's children, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing or falling away from the living God." Hebrews 3 and verse 12. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 6, the same apostle declared, "For as touching those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world or age to come, and then fall away, it is impossible to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Notice here the description of the one who falls away from God, the child of God. He's one who has once been enlightened. He's tasted the heavenly gift. He's made partakers of the Holy Spirit. Tasted the good word of God. Tasted the powers of the world or the age to come. What better identity of a child of God could one find? And yet the apostle declared, "Then fell away." Do you ask what will be the end of a child of God whose life is unfruitful? Well, let the apostle give his conclusion of the matter. But if it bear thorns and thistles, it is rejected and nigh unto a curse, whose end is to be burned. Hebrews 6 and verse 8. What will be the end be, Paul? The application and conclusion of Paul's teaching in Hebrews chapter 6 is the regretful fact that the unfruitful plant in God's kingdom, the rejected child of God, is to be burned. Listen to the Lord in John chapter 15 and verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. My friends, this the Lord stated. The Apostle Peter made it very definitely known that a child of God may fall away and be lost. Notice the reading of 2 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21. For if after they escape the defilements or pollution to the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is worse with them than the beginning. For it was better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after knowing it, turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Observe here the identity of these people and the final results. He said they had escaped the defilements and the pollutions of the world. They escaped through the knowledge of Christ, that is, in obeying the gospel of Christ. They turn from the holy commandments. They may again become entangled and overcome. The last state worse than the first. Our Lord declared that one must be born again to be in His kingdom. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. When He said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 5 He said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And yet He warned that when He comes again, some will be gathered out of His kingdom and cast into hell. Notice Matthew 13, chapter 13, verses 41 and 42. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now the Lord says, these will be gathered out of His kingdom, the church, when He comes the second time. We now consider some objections offered by those who contend that it is impossible for a child of God to fall away and be lost. It is affirmed that the believer has eternal life now, the moment he believes, and cannot be lost. Well, let's see if the Bible teaches this. In John 5 and verse 24 we read, He that heareth my word, in Jesus speaking, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now the statement hath eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, is misunderstood. Shall not come into condemnation does not mean impossible to be condemned. For in John chapter 3 and verse 36, Jesus also said, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now notice here, in John 5:24, we are taught that the believer shall not come into condemnation. If John 5 and verse 24 means that it is impossible to become an unbeliever and be lost, then John chapter 3 and verse 36 teaches that it is impossible for an unbeliever to become a believer and be saved. The term shall not is as permanent and authoritative in one passage as the other. In one passage, the believer shall not come into condemnation. In the other passage, the unbeliever shall not see life. And so the conclusion, the two scriptures are not contradictory. If an unbeliever may become a believer and see life, then the believer may become an unbeliever and come into condemnation. A child of God, therefore, can be lost. A child of God then has eternal life as a promise. For in 1 John 2 and verse 25 we read, And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. Now, a child of God hopes for eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. And so he lives in hope of eternal life. Again in Titus 3 and verse 7, Being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Question, Paul, what are you hoping for? Well, here is his answer. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Eternal life is rewarded the believer at the end. Paul said, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 22. Our Lord declared, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Our Lord promised eternal life in the world to come. Hear him. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now and this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Mark chapter 10, 29 and 30. These are the words of our Lord. Who are we going to believe? Jesus said, in the world to come, we will have eternal life. But then an objection has been raised against the teaching of the Scriptures, which declare eternal life is yet to come. Because Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. John chapter 10, verse 27 and 29. But this passage does teach that eternal life is conditional. Let us observe the passage closely. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now notice, the sheep follow Christ after they know him. They hear the gospel. They believe the gospel. They obey the gospel. Christ gives unto them eternal life after they follow him then, see. And eternal life will be given at the judgment. Matthew 25, verse 41 and 46. Then shall Jesus say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46 says, then shall these go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You see, eternal life is beyond the judgment. But then, objection is also raised, stating that because Christ said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, it is therefore impossible for a child of God to be lost. It is true, my friends, that the devil cannot, like a wolf, snatch away a child of God and send him to hell. If man is lost, it will be by virtue of his own choosing. God does not allow man to be tempted above that which he is able to bear, but man must do the escaping. Hear the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it or endure it. God makes the way of escape, but man may or may not escape. It all depends on him. The inspired writer James declares, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Man himself must do the resisting to put the devil on the run. But then another objection is offered because John said, whosoever is begotten of God doth not commit sin, because his seed remaineth in him, or abideth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is begotten of God. 1 John 3 and verse 9. My friends, this divine declaration is often misunderstood. To say that it is impossible for a child of God to sin would be an absolute contradiction of the same writer in 1 John 1, 8 and 9. In this passage, the Apostle John declares, and he's writing to Christians, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so it must be remembered here that John was addressing children of God and including himself when he said, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1 and verse 10. Actually, as long as a child of God is faithful to the word of God, the seed which abideth in him, he cannot sin. However, cannot does not mean impossible in this case. For example, a Christian may ask, or may be asked or tempted to engage in some sinful practice. But he answers, I cannot, because I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean that it would be impossible for him to engage in the sin. Obviously, one could engage in the sinful practice, but as a Christian, he cannot afford to, because he'll lose his soul. A parent may tell his child, you cannot do that. How often have we as parents said that to our children? You cannot do that. Well, does that make it impossible for the child to disobey? Of course not. Actually, when one says, you cannot do that, it is implied that it is possible to do it. The child cannot do that and please his parents. Nevertheless, it is possible for the child to disobey if he chooses to do so. Now, a child of God cannot please God if he disobeys his will. But he surely may sin against God if he chooses to do so, and be finally and eternally lost. If he disobeys the commandments of God, he has sinned. Again, the Apostle John said, He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. Therefore, it must be concluded, a child of God can so sin as to be eternally lost in hell. But again, objection is raised. But Christ said, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6 and verse 37. True, Christ will send nobody to hell. Every person who will go to torment will go there of his own choice and volition. We must remember that Christ invites all that labor and are heavy laden to be saved, to come unto Him. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Yet He declares the unprofitable servant will be cast out. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. Yes, the unfaithful child of God may be cast out and may be lost eternally. Inasmuch as we are told in Jude verse 24, that God is able to keep you from falling, may have concluded that it is impossible for a child of God to fall. Many have concluded this. Because it says that God is able to keep you from falling, many have concluded that then it is impossible for a child of God to fall. Yet when we read the 21st verse of Jude, we are told, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Notice, keep yourselves in the love of God. This was the divine injunction. A personal responsibility. God will do His part to keep one from falling. But the child of God has a personal responsibility. As Jude wrote, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, for the Lord, we find in Psalms 37, verse 29, where it says, For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not His saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cast off. This passage is often quoted as an objection to the hundreds of scriptures which teach the possibility of a child of God being lost, but it is misapplied. This is tragic. No, God will not forsake His children and leave them for the devil. We can be assured of that. But when man forsakes God, God forsakes man, as we read from 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2, where it says, The Lord is with you while ye are with Him. And if ye forsake Him, He will be found of you. If ye forsake Him, and He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. The very familiar passage of Scripture in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39, is often used to sustain a denial that the Word of God does teach the possibility of a child of God being lost, as we note now what Paul says. In this divine statement, Paul concludes, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Truly, there is nothing that separates us from the love of God. God loves His children. God loved the world when man was completely alienated from Him, even to the extent that He gave His only begotten Son for man's salvation. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, but man's own sins can separate him from God. Notice in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, friends, nothing can separate us from the love of God, but God admonishes his children, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude verse 21. Keeping ourselves in the love of God is the condition of not being separated from the love of God. A Christian must divest himself of conflicting affections and interests. The attractions of the world which appeal to the lust of the flesh alienate the Christian from God. To the child of God, John wrote, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2, verse 15. Would this not be strange and meaningless language to Christians if it were impossible for a child of God to be lost? Because of love for sins of the world, a child of God may become guilty of alienation of love and affection for Christ, to whom he is spiritually married. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 32. James the inspired writer warned Christians of the conflict of affections when he wrote, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? James chapter 4 and verse 4. Jesus our Lord declared, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and they are gathered them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. John chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. Christ is the vine, and his disciples are the branches. What happens if a man, that is a branch, does not continue to abide in the vine, Christ, and becomes withered? Well, Jesus gave the answer, hear him. They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. A child of God can be severed, cut off from Christ. It would be impossible, my friends, to sever a finger from your hand unless the finger were a part of the hand. Think about it. It would be impossible for one to be severed from Christ unless he were in Christ, a Christian living for Christ. Paul wrote this admonition to those in Christ, children of God, Galatians 3:26 and 27. For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He locates salvation, it's in Christ. Then he goes on to tell us in the very next verse how we get into Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. My friends, having then been baptized into Christ, at the same time being added to the body of Christ, Acts 2, verse 41 and 47, then a child of God may fall from grace and be lost. The unfaithful members of the Lord's church, the disloyal citizens of Christ's kingdom, who were saved by the blood of Christ, Acts 20, verse 28, will be cast into outer darkness of eternity if they do not repent and do their first works. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14, Revelations 2, verses 4 and 5. The saved, therefore, may become unsaved. The erring child of God must be converted, turned again to the Lord, that his sins may be forgiven. In James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, we read, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Now, if it's impossible for a person to fall from grace, then he couldn't err from the truth, and the inspired writer James didn't know what he was talking about, did he? But James did know what he was talking about. He was inspired of the Holy Spirit to write this. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The terms of pardon for the fallen child of God include repentance and prayer, Acts 8, verses 13 through 24, Revelations 2, 5, and a confession of those sins, James 5 and verse 16. Christians, those redeemed by the blood of Christ and faithful to the Son of God, march on under the blood-stained banner of the Prince of Peace to the glorious victory in Christ. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. May we then, as God's children, be faithful and diligent, even faithful unto death, that we may receive the crown of life. Revelations 2:10. Then in the beautiful home of the soul, in the city foursquare, whose gates are of pearl, with walls of jasper, and the street of pure gold, the saints of God shall bask in the sunlight of his eternal smile of love, where death and sorrow are unknown, and joy and happiness are supreme throughout all ages of eternity. Don't you want to go to heaven too?